Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. And as we gather together this Wednesday evening in this middle of the week leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, it's possible, I imagine, that you might have a little bit of trouble focusing on what's going on here. Your gaze is all in the right direction, at least at this point. But it could be difficult, I would imagine, on a night like tonight, to focus fully on what's happening in this place as opposed to what's happening out there. I'll have to admit to you, I'm having a little bit of trouble, not at the moment right now, but just in general, keeping all of it straight. The parties, the parades, the shopping, the wrapping, all the other activity that needs to be accomplished. All of it can really be overwhelming. I imagine that you guys could attest to that as well. And yet you've chosen to spend this evening here in worship. Because you know that when you come here, there's always something new to see and to hear. There's something new that God desires to reveal to you every time you come to this place. God always has a message that can speak to you in a fresh and in a meaningful way. And tonight that message comes to us through the joy given to Simeon and to Anna as Jesus is presented in the temple on the 40th day after his birth. It's a joy that for those faithful disciples is too good to be hoarded. They just can't keep it to themselves. And we are sometimes the people that like to keep things to ourselves. Secrets abound. We all have them and we all like to keep them, or at least like to hope that they don't get out, right? Stuff piles up as well. Most of us, I'm glad, don't end up like those people on TV where they have to have a whole company come in and take their stuff out of the house and put the dumpster in the front yard and pile it all in there because they can't get around their living room for all the things that they've hoarded. But even if we're not that bad, I would imagine that if you would admit it, you've got more stuff than you probably need. So much so that we often have opportunities to take our stuff out of our houses and out of our garages and put them in our driveway so that other people can come by and buy the things that we don't want. Or even if it's not that, we just give it away because we have so much. But I wonder if we think about as much as we should the most important thing that we've ever been given. The love and the joy that we have in God through Christ Jesus. Something that we have in such abundance that we have far more than we could ever possibly use on our own. Do we hoard it? Do we hold on to it as if there might not be more of it that would be given to us should we run out? Or do we give it away? Let's examine that thought tonight as we see how Simeon and how Anna react to the love of God in Christ Jesus. Of course, we're a little bit out of order here tonight, right? Christmas hasn't even happened yet, and now we're talking about the 40 days after Christmas, after Jesus is born. But there's a point to that. The purpose is this joy that has come to Simeon and Anna that they just can't keep to themselves. So once the angels have left and gone into heaven, and when the shepherds have returned to their fields, when the holy child of Bethlehem has left the stable and the manger, we begin to look elsewhere in order to find Jesus. And so today we travel with Mary and Joseph from that stable to the temple. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In this account, obviously, we have more people who are acting than just Jesus, right? As is often the case in our gospel readings, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people who are involved. Joseph and Mary obviously continue their faithfulness to the Lord by bringing Jesus, the true permanent temple, into this temporary temple to be consecrated to his Father. Jesus is indeed the temple, the place where God and man meet, as we know from the incarnation. He came into the world as the light of the world, and his earthly parents take him into the temple as a 40-day-old infant in order that he might go about his Father's business. And of course, this is not the end of Jesus going about his Father's business. He does this throughout his entire life. What God has called him to do, he accomplishes. But then there's also Simeon, right? Led by the Spirit, Simeon knows where it is that he needs to be in order to find the Christ. Imagine getting a promise like that you would not die until you had seen the Christ face to face. And then that's all you've got. He's going to be here, he's going to be there, or what time it's going to happen. But Simeon must have known that it was going to be in the temple. And those four little words that are said in the text are so important. Led by the Spirit. The only reason Simeon knows where to be and when to be there is that the Holy Spirit made sure he was in the right place at the right time. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon here is the representation of the old era. And he takes his Lord and Savior into his arms and he blesses God by saying, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The temple, this is the sanctuary of the Lord, is the center of worship in both the Old and the New Covenants. And the New Covenant, here at this point in time, is being ushered in, even as Simeon is allowed now to depart in peace, having seen God's salvation face to face, and having held him in his arms. One of the things that's interesting to me about this is that I've always had in my mind this thought that Simeon walked out of the temple and fell down dead, as if that was what was going to happen. You're going to see the Lord face to face and then you're going to die. But that's not actually what's said in the text. It says he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It's quite possible that Simeon lived many, many more years after this, continued his service to the Lord. That was just a thought that came to me that was not quite right. We oftentimes have these thoughts about Scripture, and they're not always what we originally thought. The last actor that we see in our account here is Anna. Anna, too, knew where to look for her Savior. She had been living in the temple for years and years, and she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And she, just like Simeon, is a representation of Israel, but a representation of Israel at its best, in much the same way that Simeon is. She's devout, she's obedient, she's constantly in prayer. We hear also that she is led by the Holy Spirit. She's at home in the temple, longing and hoping for the fulfillment of God's promises. And the Savior, who we have so recently seen in the stable, at the manger, is now at home in the temple. And today, too, we still find Christ in the temple. We find him here through his means of grace. We find Christ in his word, which is read here, and which you read in your own homes, which you carry with you in your memories, in your thoughts, and in your prayers. The temple is the habitation of God, and therefore it signifies all of the places where God is present. And so it also signifies Holy Scripture, wherein we find God revealed to us. And we also find Christ in the Holy Sacraments. Through confession and absolution, we're strengthened in our baptismal unity with Christ, and we're assured once again that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And then in the Lord's Supper, we find our Savior in a most concrete, specific, and intimate way. We find him incarnate in bread and wine, and we partake of his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of all of our sins. It's no coincidence that immediately after this sacred meeting that we have every Sunday morning at the Lord's table, that we sing the very song that Simeon spoke at his first meeting with Jesus. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. We wouldn't find our Savior if it weren't for the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do embrace him. And the essence of true worship is gladly to receive what God graciously gives. As we gather in his house, we gladly receive the Christ child into our arms, embracing and holding fast his precious promises of life and forgiveness. And also by the power of the Holy Spirit, we take what God has given to us and we praise God for those gifts. Because God loves to hear our songs of praise and thankfulness in response to the gift that he's given to us in Christ Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're enabled to pray. Imagine the many, many fervent prayers over years and even over decades that Simeon and Anna spoke, offered up in true faith and understanding that God was going to keep his promise. And so too, we are commanded to pray without ceasing. And also by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to speak of him to others. You notice that Anna didn't just come into the temple and thank God, sit there with her kneeler, looking at the Son of God there. She gave thanks and she spoke to others about him. This is what our text says. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. I've got this image of Anna just running around with this news that's just so good to share that she can't wait to see another person, that she can't wait to tell them about what it is that she's seen and what it is that she's heard. Faith and knowledge in Christ just can't remain silent. Faith breaks forth and it testifies in order to help others and to share the light that was given to us in Christ Jesus. Psalm 116 says to this, it says, I have believed and so also I speak. Those two can't be disconnected from one another. I have believed and therefore I speak. It's as if it comes into us and it needs to come back out so that others might know. It's a joy that's too good to be hoarded. We can't simply keep it to ourselves as though we could stockpile it for a later date. God keeps giving it and he wants us to keep sharing it with others. So even though Christmas isn't quite here yet, it's not going to be long before the Christmas decorations are all taken down. And those beautiful Christmas carols that we're going to be blessed to be able to sing come Sunday are going to fade away very quickly until we're able to break them out again next year. But we will always have God's grace and presence with us. He's here as he promised to be wherever two or three people are gathered in his name and where the word of forgiveness and life is proclaimed. And because he continues to come to us in word and in sacrament, that joy is always going to be ours. It's going to be abundant and overflowing. He gives so much because we need it so much, but also because he wants us to share it with the world. We've received this light and this joy, so we now, like Anna and like Simeon, spread that joy into the world and bear witness to him to others. So may our song be that of Simeon, knowing that our eyes have seen the salvation that has been prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory of your people Israel. This is a joy that's too good for us to keep to ourselves. It's a joy that's too good to be hoarded. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.